You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Passage by the House. Here's Terry Moore.
The measure faces a certain veto from President Obama. Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Obamacare doesn't work. Higher premiums and fewer choices and restricted access, these are not signs of success.
The bill also strips federal funding from Planned Parenthood for 1 year. Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern.
Millions of more people have health insurance as a result. That's a good thing, but they want to take it away.
It is unlikely that congressional Republican leaders can muster enough votes to override a veto. The health care reform law has survived two serious challenges before the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
Are you already having some trouble keeping New Year's resolutions? Psychology professor Tim Bono says people who take just a few minutes a week to accentuate the positives in their lives tend to do better with their resolutions.
It's also one of the easiest behaviors for us to incorporate into our daily lives. And it really doesn't even involve changing anything about our lives. Rather, it's taking just a few minutes to shift the focus of our attention to those things that are going well for us.
And Bono says exercising strong willpower tends to become easier as you go.
If you can exercise strong willpower in those small behaviors, eventually that will accumulate to giving you the willpower to carry out the larger goals you have for yourself, like running a marathon, like eating healthier, getting more involved with the community.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll have 12 tips for achieving massive success in your life and business, how to optimize your social profiles for search, how to get happy customers to write online reviews about you, how to deliver an amazing customer experience, and how to turn the post-holiday blahs into big business. It's Thursday, January 7th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But of course, we always get started with the weather. So to do that, currently 36 degrees. Today it'll be sunny and turning partly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees and a low of 26. For tomorrow, we'll have some sun and clouds with a high of 43 and a low of 33. Saturday, clouds arrive, and they'll prevail later in the day with some rain, high of 47, a low of 42. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy skies and rainy throughout the day with a high of 57 and a low of 30. So there's your weather brought to you by Crown Trophy of Flemington.
And we've been taking care of business every day, taking
current check of the financial market shows that we are currently in a market sell-off today. The Dow is down 200.04 to 16,706.47. The NASDAQ down 79.41 to 4756.36. S&P 500 is down 24.57 to 1965.80. Oil is down 7 cents to $33.90 a barrel. That's at a 12-year low. Prices have not been this low on crude oil since 2004. And gold currently up $13.10 to $1,105 per ounce. Well, first of all, I guess we got to start the program as we do every time, the first program of the year, with a traditional Happy New Year's greeting to all of you. Hopefully you got to spend time over the holidays with friends and family and just ring out the old and bring in the new, as they say, and just had a good time. This year for me, it was a great holiday, and I worked my butt off, and that's the funny part about it. We had a holiday basketball tournament we had to get trophies ready for, do some deliveries. We totally revamped the warehouse, moved every single shelf, every table, just totally realigned everything so that it would be more efficient, more productive. And myself and my sons Brandon and Colin were there, and we were, you know, taking things off shelves, moving the shelves, putting them back up. But now the workflow is exactly where we want it. So that, would, to me, was a lot of fun. Didn't do anything New Year's Eve. Just stayed at home with my wife, and my nieces came over, and with my sons, they made dinner and have a good time and played games and slept over. So that was a good time for them. So it was all good. Now, when we say Happy New Year, I don't think there's any way that it could be a happier New Year than if we held the winning ticket in the Powerball lottery. Last night's drawing was at about, I think, $530 million by the time they actually drew the tickets at 11 o'clock at night, and no winners. Now, remember, you have a 1 in 296 million chance of winning the lottery or the Powerball. Now, with no winner, Saturday's jackpot will now be $675 million. So I want you to take a second and just think, what would you do with the approximate $400 million that you would win in the cash? Take that 15 seconds, take that 30 seconds, and just imagine for yourself what you would do with that kind of money. You know, a lot of people say they would, I always love when people say, I'm going to donate to charities. And I'm like, really, that's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to donate to charity? Or are you going to get the boat, you're going to get the car, you're going to get the new house, go on that vacation and things like that? So I wonder how much time, and I've talked to people over the years, and some people have very specific plans for their money. You know, they're going to start a foundation. Yes, they're going to travel. The kids and the family and the for generations to come will be taken care of, and that's all well and good. But I've always wanted to know, if you were suddenly handed that $400 million, what is your first purchase? You know, what would it be? What would you think would be something that you would want right now that you couldn't otherwise get? So take a few seconds and think about that. And then while you're thinking about that, I want to tell you about a phenomenon that's going on this week. It started Monday, and it has to do with our friends at UPS and FedEx and all the other shipping carriers. They can barely catch their breath from the busiest holiday shipping season that they've had, where they were inundated once again with some of the very packages that everybody was ordering. Now, some of those packages are going back in what is known as Returns Week. Now, in the United Kingdom, shipping carriers are expecting the volume of returned parcels to jump by more than 50% this week due to consumers mailing back unwanted Christmas gifts and online purchases, according to a statement from the managing director, Royal Mail Parcels, that they released on Sunday. UPS is expecting to deliver over 5 million returns by the end of this week, which is about 500,000 more than last year. But while returns present a revenue opportunity for shipping companies, they represent a big problem for retailers, many of you whom had used generous return policies to attract holiday shoppers and boost conversion rates. We talked about conversion rates prior to the holiday break a lot, how to convert visitors into or online visitors into purchasers. And now that they've been converted, it looks like they don't want the material that you were selling anyway. So Royal Mail noted on Friday that 45% of small and medium-sized sellers believe a good returns process makes consumers more likely to place an order. And UPS said recently that 67% of consumers said they look at a retailer's return policy before they even complete an order. Now, another interesting fact to ponder is that when asked what percentage of gifts they received during last year's winter holiday season, they ended up returning only 62% of those surveyed said zero, according to the National Retail Federation. Online marketplaces such as eBay and Amazon are not immune from the pressure to present shoppers with a generous returns policy. However, they generally impose one-size-fits-all policies on merchants that can be difficult for those selling used or unique goods. Some sellers believe marketplaces have made it too tempting for buyers to abuse the returns process. Some people may be in for a rude surprise. In November, Amazon was reportedly cracking down on chronic returners, but in general, sellers have the perception that Amazon is extremely generous to customers wishing to return items. On eBay, sellers also worry about the problems of return fraud. Some buyers use eBay's SNAD policy, SNAD policy, to force a return no matter what the seller's policy around returns says. Returns fraud isn't isolated to online merchants. Retailers told the National Retail Federation they estimate total annual returns to reach $260.5 billion in 2015, or 8% of total retail sales. Of that, they expect 3.5% of the industry's total returns to be fraudulent, which would equate out to a whopping $9.1 billion. Got to figure out who's calling here. And we're going to step away, take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the 12 motivating tips for achieving massive success in your life and business. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Get a notepad to write this stuff down, because this will be game-changing and life-altering for you. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Well, one thing I forgot in the recap, and I apologize for that. I do want to take care of that right now, is something that happened to me over the break that hopefully will be life-changing, hopefully will be life-altering, and no, it's not winning the Powerball. I'll take care of that this Saturday. But I was down in the basement, and what happened was my younger son asked for a turntable for Christmas, and, you know, he wanted to hear music on vinyl. So we ended up buying him the turntable and two albums of groups that he likes. And so he was listening to the albums, and I said, hey, Colin, by the way, you know, if you go down in the basement under the stairs in the closet, you'll find all my albums from college and my DJing days and things like that. And so he went downstairs and spent about 3 hours digging everything out of the closet until he finally came across about 400 of my albums and 1,000, you know, 45 records. And I know we're going old school here. This is back in the 70s and early 80s. So he started, you know, playing some of the songs, and he was remarking about, you know, groups that he likes today that, you know, were current and popular when I was growing up, like the Eagles and the Rolling Stones and things like that. So now he finds all this music. Well, there's just one problem with that. My wife took a look in the closet and saw some acorn shells and chipmunk or mice droppings. Now we have to tear the whole house apart. We got to find the vermin and all that stuff. So we have to clean out the closet. So we pull everything out of the closet, and she starts separating some things, and she says, here, these are for you. And she hands me this box, and she wanted everything into plastic sealable tubs and all that. So she finds this box of old photographs, and I hadn't looked in this box in years, and I started thumbing through them, and I came across a picture of me, probably 1978, 79 time frame, where I'm in my track uniform and a pair of the Army cargo pants that were popular back then. And I'm kind of like in an at-ease position. I'm not sure why. And somebody took my picture. It's a little grainy. It's a little fuzzy. I posted it on my Facebook page. But I looked at that picture, and I couldn't stop looking at it for about 5 minutes. And then I put it down. I went upstairs. About an hour later, I went back downstairs, grabbed that picture, looked at it. Still couldn't get that image out of my head. Went back upstairs, watched some TV. And then before I went to bed that night, I went downstairs and I got the picture. Now I was getting kind of mad, because I was looking at that picture and I was saying, what happened to that guy, that body? You know, I might have been like 175 pounds. You know, now I'm significantly more than that. So, and then if you notice over the holidays, Oprah Winfrey and Weight Watchers launched their new campaign where it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. And I finally got to the point in life where I said, enough's enough. You know, I'm way overweight. My knees hurt. Everything hurts, you know, and it's all attributable to the weight. Doctors have been telling me for years to lose weight. So I did what, you know, everybody does at the beginning of the year. I said, I'm going to lose weight. Only now I've gone hardcore. I joined Weight Watchers. So I'm watching my weight, watching what I eat, recording my points. I'm back in the gym every day, 1 hour on the treadmill. Eventually, I'll start incorporating some weightlifting as well. But this is it. The goal is to lose 65 pounds. Whenever, you know, I'm trying to do it in a year to 18 months. But the goal is to lose that weight, about 65 pounds, which one doctor once told me is about the equivalent of 4 bowling balls. So he said, if you ever feel like carrying 4 bowling balls around with you, then you'll know what you're lugging around on your gut. So hopefully, wish me luck. I'll be able to accomplish that goal by the end of the year. Enough about me. Let's talk about you. This next story, when I read it, there were so many times when I've used different points of this in my career, in my life, that it almost was as if I had written this. So I'm going to interject some personal stories with this. And then, but I want you to think about it. When the title is 12 Motivating Tips for Achieving Massive Success in Your Life and Business. And one of the greatest drives of all human beings is the drive to succeed, the drive to improve, to make progress. It is by making progress that we feel a sense of accomplishment, and after all, if we're not getting ahead, we're actually falling behind, and nobody likes to feel left behind. But what if you could get ahead faster? What if you could achieve all that you want and more? What if you could achieve massive success and do it in a short period of time? Well, the good news is that it can be done, and many people have done it before. There are numerous examples of individuals who have completely transformed their lives, their relationships, their health, their businesses, and their income in surprisingly short periods of time. Now, if you want the same to happen for you, here are the 12 tips that you're going to need to achieve massive success in your life and business. And as I said, on certain ones of these, I'm going to interject personal anecdotes from my career. Number one is believe that it's possible for you. And I also want to mention that I am going to post this on the Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and you like Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, you'll be able to find this story a little later in the day. So believe that it's possible for you. Now, the first step towards achieving massive success is to believe that it is possible for you. It's easy to believe that achieving massive results in a short period of time is possible for others because you can simply look at real-life examples for the evidence you need to support that belief. But to believe that it's possible for you before you've created the results to prove it can be challenging. The average person believes something only when they see it. But the person who succeeds must believe in their success before they can achieve it. Your belief in yourself must come first, and it is precisely that belief that will fuel your motivation to take action. I know there was a motivational speaker years ago who said, I think it might have been Norman Vincent Peale, what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. So again, you have to believe in yourself. Number two is they want you to act like the person you want to become. Now, the person that you are today is precisely the person that has created the results that you are currently experiencing. Achieving new, massive results will require a personal transformation. You must begin to transform yourself into the person that you want to become. You must be willing to give up the person that you are for the person that you can be. And first, you start by visualizing how that person talks, what skills they have, what their habits are, how they handle setbacks, and how they lead others, etc. Then start acting like that person. If you continuously act like the person you want to be, soon enough, you will become that person. Number three, put your stake in the ground. And this comment is basically means, when you say putting your stake in the ground, it means deciding precisely what you want to achieve and sticking with that goal until it is done. Now, I mentioned just before this story, I want to lose 65 pounds. I've put that stake in the ground. I posted it along with that picture on Facebook. So now it's out there. The whole world can see it. So if I come back to you next year and say that I've gained 35 pounds, absolute failure. But I put my stake in the ground. So you don't want to jump from one industry to another or from one opportunity to another. Instead, claim your territory, stand firmly, stand proudly, and choose one course and stay on that course until you're successful. Say no to all the things that take you away or distract you from your chosen course of action. You also want to vocalize your vision. And again, by posting that on Facebook, I've done that. What you put out into the world, you attract back to you. Vocalizing your goals is therefore one of the most effective ways to achieve them. When you vocalize your goals, you attract people and resources that can help you accomplish them. A public declaration of your intentions is so much more powerful than a private commitment. When you make your intentions public, it helps to hold you accountable to achieving them out of fear of not wanting others to see you fail to do what you said you were going to do. Number five, refuse to tolerate negativity. One of the greatest killers of success is the pull of negative people who try to hold you back from getting ahead. Whether they are your colleagues, your friends, your business partners, or even family members, you must severely limit the amount of time that you spend with people who are negative and whose attitudes do not support your success. You must also refuse to tolerate any negativity from yourself. Monitor your thoughts and your attitudes, and when you catch yourself thinking or reacting negatively, stop yourself and reframe your perception of the situation immediately. Refuse to tolerate complaining, blaming, and criticizing in both your personal and professional life. Number six, my personal favorite here, have a no plan B mentality. And when I say no, I mean N-O, not K-N-O-W. A no plan B mentality. In order to achieve massive success, you must think and act as if failure is not an option. If failure is an option, or if you do have a backup plan, then you are more likely to give up when things get too tough. When you have no other choice except to succeed, you force yourself to keep going even when it's extremely uncomfortable. When a person's back is against the wall, they can do amazing things. Great example of this is many years ago, I was working in a recruiting firm, and we had hired a bunch of new people, and they were with us for about 2 or 3 months. And one day during a meeting, every employee had to host a meeting every Tuesday. So it was my turn, and I brought up this topic about no plan B. I said, focus so much of your energy and your resources and everything else into this job so that your clients know you're there for them, your candidates know you're there for them, this office knows you're here for us, but focus so hard. Make it, live it, breathe it, smell it, taste it. Everything you do has to be about this job. And I ended the sentence with, you can have no plan B. Don't do anything that takes away from focusing on what you do. So we go through the morning and we start making our phone calls, talking with clients and candidates and things like that. And after lunch, two of the girls didn't come back. And so we called them. We're like, you know, where are you? What's happening? Are you okay? Did you get in a car accident? And they finally called us about a day or two later. And they said, you know, when Jim said have no plan B, we realized that we would rather be doing plan B than plan A. And so we're going to make our plan B now our new plan A. But it, you know, so rather than taking away time from their current job and focusing on other things, they were able to put all their efforts into one effort. But in everything you do, relationships, personal, professional, everything, that no plan B mentality has to be at the forefront. You can't have that soft little pillow to land on and say, well, if this doesn't work out, then I'll do that. Just focus 100% on what you're doing. Number seven, expect turbulence before you take off. If you've ever been on a plane, you know that the takeoff is often more uncomfortable than the flight. And the same is true of any new endeavor. When you first begin taking new actions to achieve a new goal, it is often uncomfortable in the beginning. Expecting things to be easy or comfortable right away is a recipe for failure. Embrace the discomfort of new experiences and of acquiring new skills and habits. Expect a few setbacks before takeoff, learn from them, and keep moving forward. Don't let yourself shrink back into your comfort zone. Number 8, go full throttle. To achieve massive success, you must take massive action. A little action here and there won't cut it. In order for a plane to take off, it must go full throttle. And if it doesn't go full throttle, it will never lift off the ground. And the same is true in life and in business. In order to get off the ground, you must go full throttle in the beginning. Going full throttle creates momentum, and you can't afford to ease off the gas until after that momentum is created, not before. Number 9, you want to use the language of success. To become a success, you must think and talk like a success. You can easily tell the difference between someone who consistently succeeds and someone who consistently fails by the language that they use. The successful person says, "I'm committed," while the unsuccessful person says, "I'm going to give it a try and see what happens." The successful person says, "I'm going to make this better," while the unsuccessful person says, "I really hope things get better." The successful person says, "I'll figure it out," while the unsuccessful person says, "I wish I knew how." You must speak the language of success in order to achieve it. Number 10, you want to focus on getting better every day. Another major key to achieving massive success is to focus on getting just a little bit better every single day. Consistent minor improvements over a long period of time have a major compounding effect. If you improve by just 1% every single day for an entire year, by the end of the year, you will have improved by 3,778%. Each day, strive to become just a little bit better than you were yesterday. This simple habit will have a profound impact on your results in the long run. Number 11, and I love this one, don't take advice from people who aren't getting the results that you want. A crucial principle for achieving massive success is to reject the advice of anyone who is not achieving the results you want. Common sense tells us that we cannot learn to do something from someone who has never done it. So make sure you get your advice from the right people, and never take advice from someone who is more messed up than you are. If your goal is to lose 10 pounds, find somebody who has lost at least 10 pounds, and then ask them how they did it. If your goal is to make at least 6 figures this year, find someone who has made 6 figures, and learn from them. So again, when I hear somebody say, "I'm going to teach you how to drive," but they have 10 speeding tickets, that's probably not the person that I want teaching my kid how to drive. If a person says, "I can help you get in shape," but they weigh 400 pounds, chances are they're not the ones that's not the shape I want to get in. At number 12, and this is the theme at Crown Trophy of Flemington this year, accept no excuses. The final tip for achieving massive success in your life and business is to accept no excuses. Average people have a habit of letting just about any excuse stop them from achieving their goals. Now, you can have excuses or you can have results, but you can't have both. Successful people know that it only takes one good reason to motivate you to achieve what you want to achieve. It only takes one good reason to overcome 1,000 excuses. And when we did our kickoff meeting this Monday with my staff, I had started to notice over the past year, or the past, like, say, 2 months, that if things weren't getting done, I was getting excuses. I wasn't getting hard reasons. If somebody were to say, you know, "Why didn't this project get done?" Well, the vendor didn't deliver the material. Okay, great. Now we have to work on that solution. Always looking towards the solution. But I was starting to get a lot of excuses. So during my PowerPoint presentation to my staff, I said the theme for this year is, and I've said this with teams that I've coached in business and everywhere else, this is my mantra: no excuses, no exceptions. And this leads me, if something doesn't go right, I have to take blame. I have to accept the responsibility and the blame for that. I can't just say, "Well, it's because somebody did this." I can't deflect and defer and all that stuff. I have to accept the responsibility. I can't blame anybody else. And so no excuses, no exceptions. Like I said, we're going to post that on the Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Later this afternoon, you'll have a link to it so you can read it, print it, put it on the refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror. And if you're looking to make that change and you feel you're just one or two steps away from being wildly successful, learn this story, memorize those 12 points, and hopefully we can turn that around for you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. We'll be back right after this break.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
These nations need to start to talk through this and work through it bilaterally.
That's State Department spokesman John Kirby commenting on Iran claiming Saudi forces fired missiles into the Iranian embassy in Yemen's capital today. He tells Fox News it's time to stop the military actions of both countries.
We want the tensions to be brought down. We want calm to be restored. We want diplomatic engagement and conversation to continue. This is not the time to be severing diplomatic ties and relations. This is the time, actually, for dialogue.
Iran's foreign minister strongly condemned what he called a Saudi aircraft missile attack on the Iranian embassy in Sana'a. The minister says the attack damaged the building and wounded a number of guards. China is switching off the so-called circuit breaker on its stock markets. The mechanism was put in place at the start of the year to curb the market's volatility. The breaker tripped twice this week when Chinese markets lost 7% and trading was suspended. This is USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack.
But the good news is we are fighting back.
For more information, go to westernconservative.org. Register now for March 18th and 19th. Sign up for early bird pricing and see the confirmed list of speakers and sponsors. Get involved with the fight for our future at westernconservative.org.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We thank you for doing that. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and host of this here radio show for about the past 4.5 years. So glad you could join us. And thanks to our loyal listeners for all the cards, the letters, the emails that I got over the break requesting show topics and guests. So we'll try to get to all of that this year as well. Taking a look at the weather today, it'll be sunny, then turning partly cloudy with a high of 40 and a low of 26. Tomorrow, it'll be some sun and clouds with a high of 43, a low of 33. For Saturday, cloudy skies will prevail, then rain later in the day with a high of 47 and a low of 42. And Sunday, mostly cloudy and rainy throughout the day with a high of 57 and a low of 30 degrees. Right now, 36 degrees in Flemington, New Jersey. So glad you could join us. Well, we're coming out of the holidays, and this is one of the harder times for a lot of people, both anybody who just goes to work every day and for business owners especially. The big rush, the big crush is how do we get all those sales coming in just before Christmas? And so how do you turn the post-holiday blahs into big business? Now, as I mentioned, the holidays are a whirlwind for most people, especially small business owners who have to balance the demands of their personal lives and the needs of their businesses. So when the tinsel comes down and the new year makes its first appearance, the slower pace can cause you to trip over your own feet unless you make the most of your downtime. Now, with the excitement of the holidays behind and long winter days ahead, it can be easy for small businesses to get into a funk when January comes around. But January doesn't have to mean that winter blues when you have a shift in attitude, said Susan Tucker, who's the owner of Get Susan Marketing. Now, Tucker recommends small business owners make the most of the month with a few tactics that will turn blah into hurrah. She suggests that you reconnect with old employees and customers alike, and then with current employees. Sometimes employees leave on their own volition, or you've let them go, and you realize months down the road, boy, you really do miss them. Now's an opportunity for you to reach out to them and say, are you interested in coming back? You have to be mindful. If there were problems that made you terminate an employee, they're probably going to surface again, or there'll always be a little bit of resentment. But anybody who left on their own accord, maybe it was for 50 cents more an hour down the road at a different business or something like that, not a bad idea to reconnect with those folks and see if they would ever have an interest of coming back. Also, reconnect with your customers. everybody gets inundated with emails wishing them Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Thanksgiving, that it's sometimes your message, if you were to send one of those out, could have been just lost in the shuffle. So now's the opportunity for you to write a letter, drop it in the mail, and make sure that they receive it in a different format than just regular email, and an opportunity for you to connect with the customers and let them know all the products and services that you offer. You can also plan contests, schedule employee retreats, develop partnerships, and tap into your creativity. And with the reconnecting with people, also do it with your current employees. A lot of people ignore the fact that, you know, their staff is working and everything's going along great. As you slow down a little bit in the month of January, not a bad idea to pull them into the office and just shoot the breeze for a half an hour. Ask them about their holidays. Ask them about the family. Ask them about what they see the business doing over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. So, again, and then by cultivating those relationships year-round, the slumps will feel less slumpy and your employees and customers will feel more committed to your brand. So just a couple ideas of how to use this downtime. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes you need a little bit of break, and but use it to the best of your ability. Okay, so just taking a look at some of the stories that I have here. Let's talk about social media marketing. This is a topic. Over the last 2 weeks, I've probably received 100 emails on people saying that they don't understand social media marketing. They don't understand what is Twitter. I mean, it's scary sometimes. And I'm 54. I may not be the best expert on some of these technologies, but people understand Facebook. As soon as you throw in words like Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, their eyes glaze over. So they were asking me, can you cover some stories this year on social media marketing? And that's an easy brand, no-brainer. And I think, as I mentioned before the Christmas break, that I think this is the way business is trending. And we had this conversation up at the key employee meeting at Crown Trophy a few weeks ago, where it may not be what we want right now, but eventually I think it's going to get there. So everybody has a Facebook page for their business. Some people have a Twitter account. Some people will post things on on Instagram. But I don't think that we've fully realized yet what the potential of these social media outlets is as it pertains to our business. First of all, as I always say, you got to keep the content current. But look at the younger generation. You know, I think I gave the example of somewhere between 50 and 75 years old. If you need a plumber, you're going to go to the Yellow Pages. 35 to 50, you're going to go to Google. And the millennials, the 25 to 35 or even younger, if they need a plumber, chances are they're going to go to social media first, ask their friends, you know, who's a good plumber in XYZ town, and then people will start giving out recommendations. And you may have seen this. I've over the past 3 weeks, I've been paying attention, and, you know, people asked, where's a good hair salon? Where's a good, you know, bridal shop? Where's a good, there was actually one for a plumber, an electrician. So, you know, if that's the way people are going to go, and that's like a word of mouth referral, even though it's coming through digitally, we need to be prepared for that. Now, your social network is one of the best ways to increase brand awareness and sales. It provides you with a place to share content, communicate with customers, and show how your product or service offers value to the community. However, there is only so much time and money that you can spend increasing your following. So how can you grow your social networks organically? First, you want to optimize for search. Anything that is available for public viewing on a social media site will be indexed by Google. And this means that you have a chance to rank for keywords when you create your Facebook page, Twitter handle, LinkedIn profile, or Pinterest account. When done correctly, you will receive targeted traffic to your social media page, which should have links to your website or anywhere else that people can go to buy your product or your service. Now, how to optimize for search? You want to use keywords that are closely associated with your business and use them in the appropriate areas. This means creating a page name, a URL, and short description that has a targeted keyword in it. For instance, if you were a cosmetic dentist, you might have that keyword as part of your Facebook page, Twitter bio, or LinkedIn job description. You want to do this because Google will use information from these sections when it decides what to index. Now, the advantages of organic search traffic are there are many advantages, and the fact is it is targeted and easier to convert. If you are that cosmetic dentist, you will get traffic from those looking to get their teeth fixed and that need those services. Organic traffic is also cheaper to acquire, which enables you to get a larger return on the time that you took to create an optimized page. So just a couple thoughts there. We have tons of stories of on social media marketing that we'll be delving into over the next couple of weeks. A couple things for you. Go to the Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and then obviously like the page, follow us. But feel free to send me a message through there and let me know that you want to be on part of our show promo list. We send out an email the day of the show that tells you what the topics are that we'll be talking about. We post it on various social media sites, Facebook and LinkedIn. So if you want an email that tells you this is what we're talking about today, tune in. And don't forget, you can always go to the archive section of 100inchamberradio.com and find the day of the show. Look up Taking Care of Business, find the day of the show that you're interested in, and then listen that way at your leisure. So just a couple of thoughts on how you can get more content out of this program. Again, this program is all for you guys. It's not just for me to talk for an hour. It's about how we can help each other do our businesses better. Well, one of the topics that has been relevant of late is online reviews with Yelp and Yext and Angie's List and all these other services that have the online review portion, even Yahoo. You want to make sure you're getting good online views, and there's an easy way to do it. And then, obviously, if you get a bad online view, you want to make sure you address it. But here in the age of the internet, reviews of your business are easier than ever for customers to write and for potential customers to access. Now, before checking out a new store or the latest restaurant, potential customers will frequently check their Yelp page or the company's Facebook page, and positive reviews can boost your visibility, give you a good reputation, downplay the occasional negative comment, and encourage business growth. But how do you secure them? First, you want to foster relationships. And the key to good reviews isn't just hoping that you've wowed your customers enough that they'll take the time to review you. It's about developing a relationship with them that leaves them excited to support you. Asking for reviews by being pushy will get you nowhere. So make sure customers know that their input matters to you, both online and off. Positive or negative, enlightening or blah, tell them that whatever they think about your business is helpful. Asking them to provide honest feedback instead of just a 4-star ranking, as well as ensuring them that you'll take it seriously, will make customers more motivated to let the World Wide Web know their thoughts about your business. You also want to turn a negative into a positive. Now, if you've received a negative review from someone, don't just close your eyes and wish it would disappear. Confront the customer professionally in a straightforward and kind way by asking what you could have done to provide better service. It's a fact of life that the more reviews you get, one or two negative ones will start popping up. You cannot satisfy every customer 100%. But a review's author may be surprised and probably impressed that you cared enough to reach out to them and are trying to improve your business as best you can. If it's feasible and you think you can improve upon a person's experience, invite him or her back to try your product or service when you're back at your best. But even if you can't repair every single complaint that a reviewer has uttered, you can take the time to read all of your reviews, both good and bad, and learn from them. If there's a consistent area where customers aren't happy with you, fix the problem, and even go above and beyond. New visitors will notice the good service, and if they've read your reviews before coming, they may be happy and inspired to debate your negative reviewers on their own. Now, also, you want to think small. Look into some lesser-known review sites. Now, obviously, Yelp and Angie's List and Foursquare are the big ones, but the app GoodSnitch, for example, which has marketed itself as an alternative to Yelp, can be extremely beneficial to businesses. It posts positive reviews live and sends negative reviews directly to the business, further facilitating your connection with the customer and allowing you easier access to help repair a damaged relationship. Suggest the app to customers and encourage them to take the time to provide you with feedback. Offer freebies and giveaways. When you're desperate for more reviews as soon as possible, giveaways never hurt. Many popular chain retailers like Best Buy offer goodies, such as the chance to win a shopping spree in exchange for leaving a review on their website. You might offer a gift card, a discount, or another promotion to someone for entering a review, positive or negative. And this won't just encourage them to leave their thoughts, it'll encourage them to continue frequenting your business. It's another way to develop a relationship with your customer, and a devoted customer, of course, is more likely to want to review you as well. And remember, no incentives will ever inspire people to leave a review as much as a great experience. So making sure your customer service is top-notch is the surest way to create loyal customers who are passionate about your company and will in turn feel compelled to tell others. Currently, 1245, We just talked about the customer experience. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to deliver an amazing customer experience. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join us. And looking ahead towards next week, Sunday, we got to drop my son off at the airport so he can fly back to Charlotte and begin his second semester as a freshman down at UNC Charlotte. And then next Wednesday, Brandon and I will be traveling down to Owings Mills, Maryland. Never been there before. And we're going to have a kind of like an Eastern region meeting with some of the Crown Trophy store owners. And one of the gentlemen posted yesterday in our forum board how he said he always leaves energized after these meetings. You have your summer meeting, and then you work through the fall busy season. You're kind of worn out, and then when we get together with this meeting, it is invigorating, kind of gives you that motivation to continue on for the rest of the year until you get back to that summer meeting and then re-energize the batteries again. Topic now is how to deliver an amazing customer experience. And it's pretty amazing how much time and energy business owners think about marketing and advertising these days, especially when it comes to the digital revolution. Now, each day, thousands of entrepreneurs are taking precious time out of their day to read new blog posts about the latest social media trends or scary new Google algorithm updates that they think will have a tremendous impact on their businesses. Now, most will think too hard about these issues, completely missing the ball on other marketing tactics that are way more important than the hype machine that they believe in, and even more will completely drop the ball on the number one thing they should be worried about the most, and that is the customer experience. So let's say that the new social media stunt you pulled off actually worked and drove hundreds of new people to your website. What happened when they arrived? Did someone pick up the phone? And if so, what happened on the other end of the line? Now, maybe they filled out a contact form, but what happened once it was submitted? Did they get a friendly message from someone telling them that what happens next? Or perhaps you're a brick-and-mortar location. What happens when someone walks through the door or when they go through a sales transaction? What happens when they leave? These are all very important times when a business owner can create an amazing customer experience, and not just one that makes the customer happy in the moment, but one that creates a lifelong customer that becomes a brand advocate for your business and refers you new customers for years. Now let's drill it down into smart and efficient ways that you can put a smile on your next customer's face. The first is the greet. First up in the customer experience is one where most business owners fail, and that is at the minute that they either land on your website, walk in the door, or call you on the phone. What are they greeted with? Now, for your digital customers, this usually entails your home or your landing page. Are they greeted with a website that feels trustworthy? Is there clear information that explains what your brand has to offer? Are there calls to action, customer testimonials, and contact information for them to easily find? Now, for those walking into your physical locations, things get a little simpler. The first step here is to make sure that from the moment they get out of their car to the time they open the door, they feel like the place they're about to do business with isn't scary or sketchy. And this means keeping the outside of the storefront clean and ensuring that the lights and signs are working, etc. Then all you need to worry about doing once they walk in the door is smile and say hello. Simply acknowledge them. Even if you're halfway across the room, acknowledging your customers as they walk in the door is half the battle in winning them over with a great customer experience. And that's when it begins. Remember a story I did a couple of weeks ago. Don't ever ask, how can I help you? When a person just walks through the door, just say hello. Let them know that you're there to help them, but you don't have to start with, how can I help you? It kind of puts them on the defense. The decision. Your customers arrive for a reason, either to seek out information on a product or service, or most likely to put their hard-earned cash down on the table to purchase something. Now, when it comes to your website navigation, you want to make sure you have the right kind of information present at just the right time to help your visitors make the right decision. It could start with general categories of goods, followed by more detailed paths for them to take to help them find the right things. Some important frequently asked questions along the way could also help squash any reservations they may be having and lead them to the shopping cart faster. At the store, this is where your personnel and training come into play. Many people will say they hate it when store employees approach them, but in reality, if done in a friendly way, most people will respond favorably to a store associate asking them for help. This can be done with a friendly introduction by the employee, letting them know how they can help and where to find them if needed. More importantly is the training and education of your staff. Can they answer all of your customer questions? And if they can't, do they know the right people to ask within the organization? Having an informed staff, you can help customers make purchasing decisions that will also get them in line at the register more often than not. And the sale. Many digital retailers fail to really understand the concept of usability and trust when it comes to completing the sale on their e-commerce properties. But this is the area where many sales get lost. It's not that the customer doesn't want your products, it's that they either don't trust your brand or your shopping cart is too complicated. And this is why you'll see trusted brands ensure their customer information is secure and safe by including security logos in the shopping cart process. Then there's the actual process itself, and this is even more important in the growing habits of mobile shoppers. How easy is it for your customers to complete the sale? This is where a well-designed shopping cart experience can change a business overnight. And for the brick-and-mortar sales experience, in retail shopping, much has already been discussed, having a friendly staff and getting the customer to the register. The cashier can build rapport with your customer and offer any final questions or answers, which leads to the upsell. Sometimes, in other situations, let's take a restaurant for example, knowing when the customer is ready to pay and getting their check taken care of quickly is very important in completing the sale. We mentioned the upsell. We're getting ready to push the complete purchase button, but hold on. What's this? I can get free shipping if I spend an extra $10, or perhaps there's an option to upgrade to a better product? With e-commerce, there are all sorts of opportunities to offer additional products or price points during the checkout process, so long as it's not intrusive or makes for a bad shopping cart experience. A great way to increase your average sale is to give your customers better deals, which makes them even more excited about their purchase. And the same rings true in the in-store purchase. You'll notice cashiers time and again asking if you'd like to sign up for a store-branded credit card or if they would like the gift wrapping option around the holidays. Perhaps that server offered you some premium cocktail options because she knew you like to enjoy the better things in life. You might have stuck with the well-rum But having a Sailor Jerry just created a better experience for you. When done right, upselling takes the sales transaction to the next level of customer fulfillment. Now, here are a few additional ways to get extra money out of your customers without coming off as being desperate. So now that the transaction is over and the customer has left, what happens next? Now, if you're an online shopping experience is doing all the right things, chances are your customer will receive an email confirming their order when it ships and any other information they should receive while they wait for the order. In the future, you might send them email offers and surveys, but if you really want to deliver a great experience, you'll cross into the physical world and follow up with them over a phone call to show them that real people are working hard behind the website and that you value them as a customer. Now, it can be harder in the traditional setting to follow up with a customer after the sale is completed. Not everyone is going to give you an email or a phone number during the transaction. That's why the same principles that were used upon entering apply when the customer leaves. Shake their hand or give them a wave, tell them goodbye, and have a nice day. If you can, remember their names. The next time they come in, you'll be way ahead of the game. Now, whether it's online or in-store, just remember that your customers are real people and that providing them with an awesome experience that keeps them coming back for more on a consistent basis, you're well on your way to getting great reviews and having social media do all the talking for you. The best way to spread the word about your business is through word of mouth, and that word starts with you and how you treat those who walk into your door. Don't forget to use the magic word, hello. So there you go. Just a couple ideas on how to convert sales, both online and in store. So hopefully that will help you as well. In sports, in NASCAR, there are only 44 days until the Daytona 500 and the 2016 NASCAR season begins, and I can't wait. In sad news, NASCAR legend Marvin Panch died last week at the age of 89. Panch won the Daytona 500 in 1961 and was named one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers back in 1988. In Major League Baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza were voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Those notables not making the list were from the steroid era, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Mark McGwire. Griffey received the highest percentage of votes ever, eclipsing Tom Seaver's record mark with 99.3% of the vote. Piazza becomes the lowest drafted player ever elected to the Hall when he went in the 62nd round. And on an interesting side note, Ken Griffey Jr. has never been inside the Hall of Fame, saying the only time he wanted to go inside would be if he were to be inducted into it. In the NFL, the playoffs begin this weekend, but the house cleaning for some teams has already begun. The Cleveland Browns fired head coach Mike Pettine and will most likely part ways with embattled quarterback Johnny Manziel. Tom Coughlin resigned as head coach of the New York Giants. Chip Kelly was fired as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. The San Francisco 49ers fired head coach Jim Tomsula. The Tennessee Titans are looking for a new coach after firing Ken Wisenhut, as are the Miami Dolphins. And last night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fired head coach Lovie Smith. Also in the NFL worth noting is that I finished in second place in my fantasy football pool. Woo! Go Warbirds! In NCAA football, the national championship will be played on Monday night and features Clemson against Alabama. In NCAA basketball, Kansas holds down the top spot in the AP Top 25, followed by Oklahoma, Maryland, Virginia, and Michigan State. North Carolina, Arizona, Providence, Kentucky, and Xavier round out the top 10. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908